Welcome back to the fourth episode of Bowl SSE. I, Ishita Jain, your today's host on behalf of Enactus Sri Aurobindo, am here to kickstart our next episode of the podcast entitled as Bowl SSE. I welcome all of you and duly extend my heartiest greetings to all. As the famous phrase goes, today's world is shrinking. And a direct implication of that is there is no such field knowing about which will be of no use to you. Every topic is meant to be unraveled. Every stone is meant to be turned. Being said so, we are here to embark on this journey through this series of podcasts. I would like to introduce you all to our today's guest, Professor J. Srinivasan. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Professor J. Srinivasan significantly contributed in the field of atmospheric sciences. He completed his B.Tech in mechanical engineering from IIT Madras, MS from New York, and PhD from Stanford University, USA. He has been associated with Indian Institute of Science, Bengaluru, since 1982. Coming from the field of engineering, Professor J. Srinivasan has made exceptional contributions to the field of atmospheric science. His pioneering work includes monsoon models, monsoon variability, simple climate model, and satellite meteorology. Professor J. Srinivasan firmly believes in curtailing the use of fossil fuels for cleaner environment. He has authored many research papers on climate issues. We have him today to instigate all of our listeners and viewers with his knowledge on climate change. So we generally see people using the terms weather and climate interchangeably. Can you please instigate our listeners with the difference between the two terms?
Yeah, weather is something we experience every day. For example, when you want to go out, you want to know what dress to wear, whether you want to carry an umbrella. Okay, so weather is something all of us are familiar. Climate is something which is relevant to you. If you come to a new city, climate is something you will ask somebody because you need to decide what dress to buy. What are the various seasons in that city and how you should prepare for it. So climate is essentially average weather condition over a long period. Okay. So and climate changes, it changes slowly. Weather changes rapidly. And the key point is that weather is influenced by the condition of the atmosphere. For example, today's atmosphere, if you know how it is, you can say with confidence what will happen tomorrow. For example, right now, if you look at any satellite map, you will see that the cyclone which hit Odisha has gone all the way to Nepal. And so most of India will have no rain. Okay? That you can predict. But climate is the part in which we are trying to understand what will be the statistics of weather 10 years from now, for example. Now, that is much more difficult to predict, but we need to understand that because without our knowledge, we are changing the climate. And so we need to know, understand how climate is changing and how we should learn to reduce the climate change impact we're going to have. Okay.
So next question will. So is there any difference in natural climate variation and human-induced climate variation? And if yes, can you please explain us?
Yeah. Remember that human beings did not have any impact on climate till the later part of the 20th century. So up to the end of 19th century, climate was changing, and we have data from the past 20,000 years, and they show that, yes, climate did change in a natural way, but very slowly. For example, whenever there was a volcanic eruption in Indonesia, where there are lots of volcanoes, the whole global temperature will drop by maybe half degree to 1 degree, okay? And then as the volcanic dust settles down, it will come back to the old value. So these changes occurred over a period of a few years. And then remember that the radiation from the sun that you are getting changes over a 11-year cycle slowly. Okay? And because of that, there are slight changes in temperature. And the third is Remember that Earth is a very complex system. There's a lot of heat stored in the ocean, and every couple of years that heat comes out. And a region in the Pacific Ocean near Peru has a phenomenon called El Nino, where you get sudden warming of that region and it affects the whole world. So these are natural climate variations for which nobody is responsible, but we have to learn how to live with it. These are slow changes. Now, what is happening in the last 50 years is we have, without our understanding, pumped a lot of carbon dioxide into the atmosphere. Remember, carbon dioxide is a transparent gas. It has no odor. It is not dangerous to you in your room. But it traps a lot of radiation from the Earth. And that we know from spectroscopy. If you do a spectrum of absorption of carbon dioxide, you will see that in the region where Earth emits radiation, carbon dioxide absorbs a lot of it. Because of that, the temperature of the Earth in the last 50 years has gone up by 1 degree centigrade. This is a fast change. This is not a slow change. And if we continue to behave the way we have behaved last 100 years, it will get more and more warm. And for people in India, remember, we're already a very hot country, being in the tropics. If the temperature goes on increasing, in 50 years' time, India will be difficult to live. Because in summer, temperature will reach 50 degrees centigrade. And all of you realize that it's not a temperature in which people can work outside. You can't work in the field, you can't work in the factory. So this is a serious issue. And it is on top of natural climate change. Okay?
So as you mentioned about the human-induced climate change, what do you think are the major causes of this?
I already mentioned one major cause, which is carbon dioxide, which is released whenever you burn coal, oil, or gas. And today, our lifestyle is such that for most of our activities, we are burning either oil, gas, or coal. And that has to stop. And that is not easy because all our societies have got used to generation of power with coal. And we are used to cars, trains, and trucks using oil. Now, everybody has realized that these are not good. But the transition from the present fossil fuel-based economy, that is oil, gas, and coal, to an economy based on renewable energy has to happen. It has already begun. In India, we have already put up a lot of solar and wind power plants, and China has done much more. So this transition will take another 30, 40 years. So in your lifetime, you're going to see a major transition, which my grandfather saw. My grandfather's generation saw transition from use of wood and natural energy to coal. Now you're going to see transition from coal, oil, and gas to renewables. But this transition will take time, and it will happen if and only if all the people demand the change occurs. Because you must remember, there are a lot of industry people have invested a lot of money in coal, oil, and gas. They won't like this change because they'll lose money. They put money. So it's going to be a tough battle, but it has to be done because if you don't do that, the future is not very pleasant. And so I have been talking about this for the last 30 years. In 30 years ago, nobody believed me. They said, how can carbon dioxide, which is in parts per million, it's not like nitrogen oxide, it's small amount. How can it affect us? But today, with a lot of scientific work, it has been shown beyond reasonable doubt that the major culprit is carbon dioxide. There are a few other culprits, for example, methane. Methane is released in gas pipelines when they are taking the gas. Methane also is released by cows. Methane also comes from rice fields. So those are also difficult gases to deal with. But there is a big difference between methane and carbon dioxide. Carbon dioxide, once released, remains in the atmosphere for hundreds of years. Okay? Whatever carbon dioxide is released in 1920 is still around. So it's a long lifetime. So if you make changes now, its impact will be seen 30, 40 years later. Methane, on the other hand, all of you know methane, it rapidly oxidizes to carbon dioxide. So methane remains in the atmosphere for 10 years. So methane is not as serious a gas which traps radiation compared to CO2. But still, we have to learn to control both methane and carbon dioxide.
So a lot of times people say that only the future generation will suffer due to the climate change. So why should they take care of it? But what do you think? Yes. Should all
of us... Yeah, let me tell you. Yeah, you're right. Whenever I gave a talk, people said, okay, it's a slow change, 1 degree in 50 years. We will not worry about it right now. The unfortunate part is, yes, lots of very, catastrophic things will occur slowly, like sea level rise. Okay. Like more heat waves, they will take time. But already we have seen that because of the increase of temperature 1 degree, the number of extreme rainfall events, that is, events in which rainfall is more than 100 millimeters per day, that kind of rain causes flooding and lots of destruction, especially in our cities which are not well designed. So those are already happening. So in the last 50 years in India, the number of heavy rainfall events, that is 100 millimeters per day, has gone up by 50%. It has doubled. Okay? So we have to worry about it because some of the effects of climate change is already being seen, and droughts and floods. Okay? And the other things, which are more serious, like sea level rise, will be seen a little later. So the second part I want to tell you is, person at my age can say, well, I don't care. Big thing will happen 20 years later. But you are young people. In your life, you're going to see much worse things if you do not act now. So it is important for young people to worry about it much more than old people. And our problem is, all over the world, the leaders are old people. You look at the leadership in India, in America, in England, in Europe, everybody is around 70. Okay? So there, concerns are different from your concerns. So it's very important young people realize that they have to raise the issue much more loudly. That's what Greta has done. Greta Thunberg has done a lot of publicity on this because she realizes that the businessmen and political leaders who are old do not take this issue seriously, while people like her have to face the consequences. So this is a problem which is of great importance to everyone, especially young people. It's also important for old people because they must realize they cannot leave this world in a bad shape for their children and grandchildren. That concern has to be there, but it's not there, unfortunately. But for young people, it has to be a matter of urgency. Okay? People will say, yeah, I know this is happening. We can do it a little later. No, it is a very urgent matter because this transition that we have to undertake, it will not happen overnight. If you start acting today, for example, if today we take a decision not to build any more coal power plants, it will take about 30 years to retire all the old plants. Okay? So it's important that policy decisions be made today so that 30 years from now, situation is under control. So that's why this issue is important to all of you, especially the young people.
I'm sure, sir, that everybody will inculcate your piece of advice. Next up, can you explain the correlation between air pollution and climate change?
Now, air pollution and climate change are two different issues. Air pollution is a local issue. Air pollution is affecting, for example, take right now, if you're in Delhi, air pollution is a very serious problem in winter where the air is stagnant. But in some other part of India, it may not be so serious. But climate change and global warming, about which we talked earlier, they are global problems. So people are meeting large gatherings to discuss how all the countries in the world can act together to stop global warming. Air pollution is a local problem. The air pollution in Delhi can be solved by only Delhi municipality. I am in Bangalore. I cannot solve Delhi's problem. Okay, So air pollution is a local problem, and it's India, in India, primarily due to two things. One is the use of scooters, trucks, which emit a lot of pollutants, okay, called aerosol. These are particles whose diameter is less than 2 microns, and you cannot see them, but they go into your lungs and affect your breathing. Okay, many people who have asthma problems get problem gets worse during air pollution. So air pollution is caused primarily by transport sector, but also you must remember, among poor people who use firewood for cooking or even coal, there is an indoor air pollution. Okay, so most of you may not know about it because you probably use gas in your house, in which case pollution is not there, but there is pollution due to using chulas and firewood. So that also has to stop, and that is going to be a long-term program of the government to slowly move people away from cooking with wood and coal and move on to gas. Now, the air pollution problem is seasonal. You can see that in India, air pollution problem much more serious in winter than in summer, because during monsoon time now, we are in the time where rainfall is beginning to occur, pollution is less because rain completely removes the pollution. But in winter, in Delhi especially, from October to March, air is stagnant, doesn't move much. So whatever particles are emitted by either stoves or by trucks or cars, they remain in the atmosphere a long time. And so that is a serious problem. Now, doctors have estimated that in India, about 1 million people die of air pollution. 1 million, okay? Now, you may not believe it because it's a slow death. People get lung problem and asthma problem and suffer for many years. So we don't understand it, but the estimate is based on a lot of data collected in many countries. So something which kills 1 million people per year should be taken seriously. Right now, all of you know, we have COVID, okay?
Yeah.
According to the government estimate, 3 lakh people have died of COVID so far, okay? That's a number maybe higher because the data is not that accurate. Remember that in the case of air pollution, it is 10 lakhs. So we are not talking about it. We are just ignoring it. So remember that if you have heard about COVID, that's only 3 lakhs, while in air pollution per year it's 10 lakhs. So people must take it seriously and act on it, and that can be done. Today, fortunately, new technology has arrived. All of you have heard about electric cars, which are very popular now in Europe, China, and USA. It has not come in a big way to India. It has to come. So once you introduce electric cars and you generate electricity by solar and wind, then the air pollution problem will come down dramatically. Okay? And especially because this is a problem in cities. Because cities, the density of human beings is very high, so there are more vehicles. So that problem will go away when you use electric vehicles. So all the young people must put pressure on the political leaders and industry leaders to shift to electrical vehicles. Right now, they are expensive, but a little incentive from the government will make electric vehicles much cheaper. For example, already electric scooters are there in the market. They're slightly expensive, but the running cost is very low because you don't have to put petrol. But still, there is a need for a policy decision by the government to discourage the vehicles which use petrol and gas and shift over to electricity. That can be done, but again, young people have to act because you are the ones who are going to face the air pollution problem if it is not controlled very soon. Okay.
So next, what do you think, can we mitigate climate change, and if so, in what ways can we?
Yeah, let me tell you. When I've been giving talks on climate change for the last 30 years, first people said, "I don't believe in climate change. It's not occurring." But slowly, as the data accumulated, they said, yeah, it is true, climate change is occurring, but we can do nothing because we need our industry, we need development, we need fossil fuels to think. Now, all these are not true. You can develop quite well without using fossil fuels. I give two examples. India and China are some of the two civilizations which have been there for thousands of years. For all those periods, we did not use oil, gas, or coal. We did quite well. Okay. So it is not necessary that you need oil, gas, and coal to have a good life. You can have a good life without them. So this is a matter of mindset. People have got used to it. They think you cannot do without it. So first thing to realize that you can have a fairly good life without depending on oil, gas, or coal. You have to depend mainly on hydro power, solar power, and wind. The only problem with solar and wind is they vary in time. Sun is there only during the day. Wind is there only during monsoon time. So we have to be very clever to manage these variable energy sources along with hydro, which when you have dams, you can store the energy and then release it when you want. And in the next few years, battery technology is going to change. The same battery that's used in your mobile, but lithium ion, is now going to come in big sizes. And that will enable you to store the energy. For example, at night, there's no solar. So if you store the energy, which is generated during the day in your lithium-ion battery, you can use it at night. So this is going to happen. And again, government policy has to encourage it. This is a new technology. It is really expensive. So it has to be encouraged so that it becomes less expensive. So in the next 10 years, all of you are going to see more electric cars, more electric scooters, more electric trucks and buses, and they will reduce air pollution, and they will also require power generation by renewables, and the government has to advocate policies to encourage it. So to me, in the next 30-40 years, we can transition from our complete dependence on fossil fuels to one on renewables, but it will happen only when we act. It will not happen automatically. It will not happen as a magic. It will happen because people demand it. And it is important that young people demand it more, because you are the one going to face the most serious consequences of climate change. And so you have to demand, and you have to also change. The other thing, important thing, young people have to know that in addition to demanding change, you also have to ask yourself whether you in an efficient way. So energy conservation is a very important tool. For example, many people now, I find, keep the light on when they are not in that room. It's a waste of energy. So you must learn to switch off the fan, switch off the air conditioner, switch off the computer, switch off the fan when you're not there. So this has to be inculcated in all young people, that energy is generated in a very special way, whether it is solar, wind, or hydro, or coal, oil. So you cannot just waste it. The same way you cannot waste water. All of you know water is a precious resource, and you cannot keep your tap open in the wash basin and brush your teeth very casually, which people do. So this concept of conservation has to be built into your thinking. Everything has to be conserved, whether it's air or water or energy, has to be conserved, has to be used wisely, and has to be generated in a way that is not creating pollution. So if you do all that, you can mitigate climate change. There's no problem. As a matter of fact, if we manage to completely move from fossil fuels, we'll stop releasing CO2 in the atmosphere. And we are lucky that both in oceans and in forests, CO2 is absorbed. Natural life takes CO2 and produce oxygen. Okay, all the oxygen that you have today is there because there are a lot of bacteria which convert CO2 to O2. Okay, we are depending on them. We don't know they exist. They are all over the oceans and in the land, and they are doing the job of converting CO2 to O2. So once you stop releasing CO2 with all these burning oil, coal, and gas, they will bring the level of CO2 back to what it was 150 years ago. So the main thing to understand is that it is feasible, but it's not simple. It will take money, it will take effort, it will take activism by young people, but it can be done. So one cannot take a view that nothing will happen, these things will take place, we have to suffer. That's not necessary. We can change, and the change is already happening, but it has to accelerate.
So we have now understood what climate change is, how humans are causing it, and how can we mitigate it. But what has India done as a whole? What has India contributed towards this so far?
Yeah, you must remember that if you look at the total carbon dioxide that is released in the atmosphere by people all over the world, India contributes just 6%. Okay, that's quite small. So we are not the major culprit. The major culprits are the developed world, Europe and America, who industrialized early 100 years ago, and they are contributing much more. So that's why Indian government has been arguing with these countries to do something to make the transition. But you must remember that in the long term, we are also responsible because our population has gone up rapidly. And remember that each human being requires energy, requires food. So in doing that, we'll release CO2. So although our CO2 release is quite small today, if we continue the same way that other countries have done, we will be also part of the problem. So it's important that India and China, who put together contribute 3 billion people, have also to start changing. But the major responsibility right now is with the developed world, America and Europe. So they have realized, Europe has definitely realized, but America is a bit adamant and they are changing now quickly. So if they also have to change. So that's why there's a lot of negotiating going on in international forums to convince the developed world to act first, and then the developing world will follow, because this change requires technology, which you talked about, solar, wind, and other things, batteries, and technology is there with the developed world. So they have to share the technology with us. And so that's why this change that we have to do together. The example I can give you is present COVID problem. The COVID, all of you know that we'll come out of this COVID catastrophe only by vaccines. Hmm. Now, vaccines, everybody has to be vaccinated, not just a few people. For example, right now, 50% of America is vaccinated. India is only 5%. Why? Because there's a shortage of vaccine. So until everybody in the world, in Africa, in China, in India, everybody vaccinated, this COVID virus will not go away. It will be around. Similarly, in the case of the transition from fossil fuel to renewable energy, everybody has to chip in. And it's a big challenge. It's not a minor challenge. And so the negotiations going on how the developed world will help India. But India also has to realize that we were following the model of America and Europe in development by using coal, oil, and gas. That model is not good. That model has got us in a lot of trouble. So we have to go into a different model, but that transition requires new technology and money, and so we need help. But we also have to change. We can't just blame others for all the problems. For example, very common problem in air pollution is we blame somebody else. But remember, we are also part of the problem. Look at the amount of solid waste all of us generate. Look at the amount of packaging we have today, because everything comes by delivery. And so that problem has also got to be solved. In addition to air pollution, the major problem with plastics and waste, which we have created in the last 30 years, has also got to be solved, because all the plastic we generate is going to ocean. And we know that it's a serious problem, which has just been realized. So the point is that, yes, compared to the rest of the world, India's per capita carbon dioxide release, per capita plastic use is very, very low. But we are a growing population and we are also slowly contributing. So we have to learn quickly to change and to not to go the way America and Europe can. So that is a part of the, yes, we are contributing very little right now, but unless we change, we also will be part of the problem.
All right, sir. It was really insightful to hear you and your detailed description. As a last question, or more of a closing remark, if you may say, how do you think we can build a sustainable future?
Now, this idea of a sustainable future is a new one. It was not realized 30 years ago.
Yeah.
that we have to carefully look at every action we take in our life. Everything we do, the way we drive vehicles, the way we build our houses, the way we build our, all these have to looked upon a point of view whether they are sustainable. That is, whether in doing all this, if you create waste which cannot be recycled, then we are in trouble. Now, if you look at nature, nature has a very interesting way it has done, way it has gone about doing things. In nature, everything is recycled. Okay? If you go to a forest, when an animal dies, something else comes and decomposes the animal and it becomes part of the landscape. So similarly, we have to learn to live life like in the natural world, which is controlled by natural world uses only solar energy. Remember, they use no energy except solar. And they also practice population control, which we have not done. We human beings have allowed a population to grow up very rapidly in the last 100 years. So if you learn from nature that everything is recycled, population is under control, and we use only renewable energy, then we will have a sustainable society forever. But if you don't do that, we will be completely gone. So if you look at the history of civilizations in the past, there are many great civilizations which have disappeared because they were not sustainable. Okay, all of you know there's a well-known civilization in Cambodia called Angkor Wat, very famous one, which was based on Indian king who went there, but that civilization collapsed because it was not sustainable. So this happened in the past, and if you don't want to go that way, if you want to have a civilization last for a long time, then we have to make sure that whatever actions we take, we ask ourselves whether it is sustainable or whether it is recyclable, whether we are consuming the resources badly or not. Okay?
Thank you so much once again, sir, for your worthy time. I'm sure that our audience will definitely incorporate your piece of advice in their personal lives. We hope to hear from you in the near future as well. That was it for today's episode of Bold SSE. Reach out to us with any questions, suggestions, and recommendations. Our podcast is telecasted on Spotify, Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, and our very own YouTube channel, Enactus Sri Aurobindo College. You can reach out to us on our official social media handles. See you all again in next week, Tuesday, sharp at 8, with yet another interesting topic and an eminent guest. Till then, take care. Signing off, your host for today, Ishita Jain. Until next time, stay home, stay safe.